Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com. And welcome to After Things, the show we do after weird things. Hashtag Where's Andrew is not here for this episode. Whoever joining me, as always, is Brian Brushwood.
Hello.
And Bryce Neshcom Castillo.
Hello.
Oh, God, I'm so glad you joined in. I knew. I was hoping for the
and
harmony.
Me. Hello.
We got a letter.
We did. We got a letter from David who writes, "Hello, After Things. I am a content creator and would love your advice on how much or how little I should worry about short-term metrics and how much they steer my long-term content strategy. For context, for over a year, I've created video guitar lessons on YouTube. I release about one video per week and feel 100% confident the quality of my product is among the best of other YouTube guitar teachers. The quality of my product isn't my issue. Rather, it's deciding what songs I make lessons for. The types of songs I most love to make lessons for, like Paul Simon, Johnny Cash, Lynyrd Skynyrd, all of which I think are evergreen, don't have much overlap with what's popular right now, like Ed Sheeran, Justin Bieber, the Chainsmokers, which are popular now but more likely to fade hard later. Specific example, when I dipped my toes into pop song waters, these videos could get 10 to 100 times more traffic than my typical lessons. Again, I don't think this has to do with product quality. Getting this many views can feel great when I look at my analytics dashboard, but feels empty when I think about my love for music and ponder the finite number of songs I will be able to learn in my lifetime. Do you have any advice for how to deal with this psychologically? Is it foolish of me to 100% neglect the pop song market? Should I remove the easy access to my analytics dashboard so the numbers don't bother me as much? Or maybe I should devote a small portion of my lessons to pop songs to get a piece of that pie and sow my pop song oats every now and then. Thank you so much for reading. Been a fan for years and grateful for your continual advice, which has helped me immensely. David
Hey, real quick, let's get the plug out right from the beginning. It's youtube.com/playsongnotes. Is that right?
Play song notes.
Great. And it looks like he's doing well. He's got almost 17,000 subscribers. Let's take a little listen for his format. Simple man. The graphics look fantastic.
Yeah. There's three main you've even got time codes, which is great for instructors.
The quality of cinematography is great.
Great font. Actually, good title.
I'm doing that so you can play along with me a lot more easily right now.
I would say in a perfect world, he would be mic'd a little better because you can hear a bit of room tone.
Sure. But
I think that's minor, super minor.
Right. Well, what do you guys think about this, right? He's kind of struggling with what's popular versus what makes him feel good, which is the thing that many viral video creators have gone on to say. If you look at the heavy metal cooking woman, she would do recipes and heavy metal songs. You know, those videos became very popular, but they were not necessarily what she wanted to do.
Right.
And when she would go to do the things she wanted to do, it would get less well received because there wasn't as much stickiness or acquisition on these very popular things.
Well, I have thoughts, but I know, Justin, you've only got about 10 minutes to hang with us before you got to bug out. Why don't you talk us through
Well, it's weird because like I don't necessarily want to step on your advice on the YouTube channel because you have so much better advice. But in general, what I would say is I've always thought of this thing. I mean, like, you have to listen to the audience, right? Like, the audience is going to tell you what they want, and you can decide to listen or not. You can tell them that, no, what you really want is this other thing, and try to give that to them and try to interest them in that. But ultimately, if you found fire and you found that people find you more by doing something that is popular, then don't think of those videos as your end all be all or a reflection of your talent or your integrity or your soul or whatever else you want to staple onto that. Think of those videos as a net where you're going to catch a lot more people. And of those new people that would never otherwise have seen you, maybe more people from that group find that they like the stuff that you like to do more than the other stuff. I think, you know, if you look at that as incremental growth of your hardcore fan base, then going after the big popular thing is a little bit easier to swallow. But Brian, I'm actually excited to hear your point of view on this.
Yeah, this is a incredibly relevant question because we're sort of dealing with that with the launch of the Modern Rogue right now. You know, the Modern Rogue we launched 6 months ago, and I'm happy to report that this week we got our 100,000 silver play button.
Oh my God, what a time in the desert though. Jesus. 6 months. Just, you know, pulling your hair out.
It was a scary time. It was a scary time. So I could certainly relate with all that. But what are the oddest comments that we get on Modern Rogue are people who are irrationally angry because we differ ourselves from the norm. Like people who will post comments like genuinely all caps angry saying, why are you not talking to the camera? Why do you just talk to each other? You're supposed to talk to me. And I understand that is part of the recipe of what makes for a popular YouTube channel and so on. Likewise, it's like, you need to do this, you need to do that. And, there came a moment where Jason and I kind of, and Brant, you know, we talked and it's like, look, man, we know the recipe for a turd sandwich. We just don't want to make any turd sandwiches. And we understand turd sandwiches are super, super popular. And that's the easiest way to get your stuff in front of everyone is to make turd sandwiches. But I don't think we're going to do that. That was a luxury for us because we have enough other properties that if doing exactly what we want doesn't resonate, then that's fine. If you are in a position where you are beginning what you perceive to be a 30-year journey, if you have an idea, by the way, that's my favorite exercise I've done in the last 4 or 5 years was doing this projection of imagine you are the king of an empire 30 years from now. What does that empire look like? And by empire, I mean it in the most extreme sense of the word that you can imagine. You know, in every guitar center, your tutorials are being sold. In every, you know, all over YouTube, it's on there. You're so popular that you go on the Tonight Show to do 5-minute quick, anybody can learn how to play blank songs or whatever. Like, think that big and then work your way back. And I'm one of the things I'm betting you'll realize is, as Justin said, there is no one thing you need to do. It's going to be a collection of a bunch of different efforts all at the same time. So once you give yourself freedom, like what if you had two channels, right? What if one of your channels was how to play pop songs and another channel was like how to play music that matters. So you have two channels, you have music that matters and you have play pop songs. My guess is that you are equally capable of applying the same formula to both of them. And yes, pop songs will blow up. But if there's one thing I've learned from keeping, you know, there was a moment.
But the content, I mean, sorry to cut you off. But
yeah, sure.
The content of these seems so similar that splitting them off seems like you would lose any of that associative runoff between the two things.
I would have agreed with you a year ago, right? Because think about it. Mm-hmm. Scam School and the Modern Rogue are very, very similar. They're different properties.
But I think that the subject matter is different. I think the subject matter is wildly different. Where here, he's still doing guitar lessons. It's just the songs are different.
For breaking off the Modern Rogue from
what's
Scam.
That?
There was reasons beyond content about breaking off Modern Rogue.
Yeah, in an alternate universe, I never would have taken Modern Rogue off of the Scam School channel. But there was reasons that we needed to start over from scratch on a new channel. And a side effect of that is now I am enjoying the benefits of being very diverse, you know, of having two totally different harbors in the New York City of Bizarre Magic Inc. as I've come to think of it. And so likewise, I would say that thinking in terms of this is my advertising arm and this is my fulfilling arm of the business, I think is fine. And I think it's fine to differentiate them. But you would go out
and suggest that he split them out?
Maybe, or if that's what it takes to keep him enjoying it, then by all means, yes. Like, start a new channel called Pop Songs That Are, you know, How to Play Pop Songs, right? And then, and you just go off and do it. And then you funnel everyone to fundamentals of good music. Then that's great, because you understand, there's nothing wrong with working for free, doing something you don't like, because you know it'll put you in front of people that will get you to what you actually like. Where you run into trouble is when you kind of sell your soul and artistically neuter yourself by only doing stuff you don't really care for because you know it pays the bills. You got to keep your soul alive. And one way to do that, and certainly, you know, my interest in Scam School is at an all-time high, specifically because I know Scam School is the best vehicle to get more people to the Modern Rogue. And so likewise, that's something he could start from day one if that's what it takes. If he knows the recipe for a turd sandwich and demand is high for a turd sandwich, sure, then by all means, make the turd sandwiches and funnel them into what you truly care about.
Well, let me ask you this. How many suggestions do you take for the Modern Rogue from comments or emails?
A lot.
Okay.
We listen to everything.
Yeah.
So Freezing a Lock, right? So Freezing a Lock is your last video, like something like topics like that. Like, hey, you guys should try to do blank, or you guys should try to do blank.
Yep.
Like how many of those, just ballpark percentage?
I would say it started off at 10 to 15%, and I'd say it's very rapidly approaching 50%.
And that's probably common for YouTube channels, that the more, A, you get a following where people are asking for things, there's also just, you know, the unending demand for content that you're like, I want to know what plugs in well enough. Let's do that. Like, that's a really good idea.
Right. And if he's worried about diversifying, you know, because again, I understand that the difficulty of starting over from scratch with something. Understand, you could just brand it different today. Today, all you have to do, like take a look at his thumbnails and all that. There's a consistent theme he has on all those, that almost all of them are a bluish theme or whatever. All you have to do is make a more reddish theme for pop stuff. So just make it clear, if it's red, you know, that's going to be a pop song that everybody loves. If it's blue, it's going to be a song you care about, and you'll explain why. And just call them different things, right?
I think that's all stuff he can do, but I think if he just finds a good, you know, two for him, one for everybody, or a good ratio of the songs that he thinks are going to be popular versus what is going to make him feel better, I think that's going to be the simplest thing and will better retain views from these other videos. And you know, the YouTube thumbnails, I guess you could make him different, but that's something that he's doing for himself, right?
Yeah, and that's fine. Well, because he's going to garner his own hardcore audience, right? The folks who fall all the way down into the gravity well and become your core, and I'm thinking of, you know, the same Diamond Club who's watching us right now. You can foster that by encouraging people who really get what you're about through that kind of delineation. But whatever it is, I would say definitely do not be that artist who just says, well, you know, but my art is pure, I only want to do the whatever. That's fine. You could be either right or you could be successful. You probably can't be both. So why don't you figure out a way to diversify and do things that you don't want to do, in order to get people to what you want. And that's coming from a very real place right now, because as we talked about last week, you know, I'm in the middle of this exercise. I've done 4 podcast interviews in the last week, and have dozens more lined up over the next few weeks, because I realized that what I thought was a chore, i.e. showing up on other people's podcast and hanging around for an hour, in fact, is note for note the most the best possible way I could get more people to discover my stuff. And so likewise, I would say, eat the bitter pill to do what it takes to get your stuff in front of other people.
I mean, I think to me, the line that you guys have to draw, and Brian, I know you have, is that while you take a lot of suggestions from chat and email and comments and everything for Scam School and the Modern Rogue, you've kind of shied away from doing the like big trend videos, like the ice bucket challenge,
hot or knife, thousand degree hot knife penetrates my wife.
Yeah, like you guys have
that's
not
the thing, right?
That's again, that's murder. Oh, we went when we did this murder. Exact ad. We had yeah. exact
sorry,
thing.
Sorry,
that's murder.
Unless you call your wiener a hot knife. and then it's probably against YouTube's deal.
No comment.
but that's a line that you've drawn, right? And it's like, okay, well, you want to listen to X amount of your audience, but not Y amount of your audience. And that is something that, like, I think, Brian, you made the big point, which is you gotta protect the mechanism. You know, if it makes you not want to do something, then you need to think about it. However, you know, sometimes people want to learn. I'll tell you what, I see a lot of just looking at those thumbnails, I see all the songs from La La Land, all the songs from Moana, right? Like, you know, he's doing stuff that that is hot and timely. So I think that is, you know, there's only going to be so many people that just want to listen to the classic rock, you know?
Well, and keep in mind also, there's a way to there's a shortcut. There's a cheat you can do, and I held back saying this until now.
Uh-oh.
But you can always do the mashup territory. Take something you care about, like how to perform, you know, what's a hot song right now? I don't know.
Closer,
right. How to perform Closer in the style of Johnny Cash.
Sure.
And then you get back to the fundamentals. You're like, hey, here's Closer. And you play a little bit of Closer. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, but Johnny Cash tends to sound this way back and forth, you know, up and down. And then, and you're like, well, here's how you combine the two. And then that way you have given the Closer theme, but you have also given something deeper that speaks more to the territory that matters to you.
Kind of, I guess, suggesting that he diversify his content into also performance and a performance element of these mashups that can lead into here's how I did this mashup.
Yeah, and that's a tough thing, is like the natural order of brands. I'm going to try to speak universally. Just like the natural order of genetics is to diversify constantly, and then the right things in the right niche live and thrive. Mm-hmm. The other ones die. That's what brands tend to do as well. So my guess is if you split out into three categories of tutorial, and it looks like he's kind of done that. He's got one that's a guitar lesson, some that are song lessons, and so on. Then maybe make three or four categories. And again, it looks like he's doing a great job of categorizing all this stuff.
He's got categories. He's got quick tips, lessons, ukulele things.
That's great.
Like, I think he's
pay attention to which of those people do the most, and make it a temporary thing. You know, tell yourself, look, there are 18-year-olds who don't have the financial means to go to college. They say to themselves, I'm going to go enlist in the military. I'm not going to enjoy it. It's going to be 2 years. But when it's over, I will get to go to college anywhere I want, and I'll be able to afford it. Same thing in the YouTube world. I mean, just, you know, you got to eat some turds for a little bit, and then you're going to be able to come out the other side and do the other thing. Because, for example, you know, when I quit my day job, I knew that the one thing I knew for sure about a successful magician is that magician, there's not a single day you could meet him and he wouldn't be talking about the show he has coming up this weekend. So whether it paid or not, I made sure that I had a show every single weekend. I used to drive 3.5 hours to Houston to perform for free at a local gig for 40 people. And then turn around and drive back, because that was better than the alternative of not having anything on my calendar. So in that regards, I would say for where you're at right now, hustle. Yeah, you're in the hustle phase, and that means doing a lot of stuff you don't really care about, and you will be granted the opportunity to do the stuff you love later on.
You know, also, and this will be the last thing I'll say is just continue to listen to your audience, because I think a lot of the like anxiety comes from you being afraid that what you're hearing is your worst fear. You know, that it's like, oh God, another Chainsmokers thing that blew away my Willie Nelson tutorial, like, I guess I'm just the chain smokers guy now, like, and all these songs that I hate, yada, yada, yada. But keep engaging. And like what Brian said about, like, you know, splitting off, it's like, okay, well, then, yeah, then try the, like, oh, well, you like that? Well, here's a great thing. Now that you've already heard that, now figure out a way that you can do the ultimate mega mix the next time you're at a party or you're at a gig or something like that. Like, now branch off that and do things that interest you a little bit more based on people's interest in those songs. So you're not, don't let your mind put yourself in a box where you're just this trained monkey. You know, keep listening to the audience. And when you try new things that are in that direction that you might like a little bit more or find more rewarding, then, you know, I think you're going to find that it's never really as dire as you think in your head.
Yeah, I mean, don't treat it as compromising. Treat it as work. Yeah, okay.
That's a good way to frame it. Like,
I'm
like,
doing
like,
this popular song, and then I can do this reward for myself.
Right.
Like it's kind of a weird thing because it's the creative space, but like. They go hand in hand.
I mean,
all right, guys, I'm gone. I'll talk to you.
All right, take care, Justin. I'll say for me, like, all things being equal, if it's 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, I would rather be playing Hearthstone and watching Legion than appearing on any podcast for anyone for any reason ever, right? But I had this come to Jesus moment where I'm like, oh yeah, no. If I want Mono Rogue to be successful, I have to do the legwork that involves. Showing up for free on a lot of people's show and caring and trying to be funny and engaging and entertaining and tell stories and so on.
Yeah.
I like that way of couching it as, yeah, you got to do the work. And for him, the work is if there's a button that you know, like, think about it. Okay, let's say there's a Lynyrd Skynyrd song that you really want to share. Mm-hmm. You could share it today and reach 1,000 people. Or for the next, you could wait 1 year to share it. And in 1 year, you can guarantee that 100,000 people will tune in and watch it. Why would you not just decide, well, let me build the platform so I can reach 100,000 people, and then I'll finally do the stuff that I like for me?
Yeah, and in most cases, I would say that delayed gratification may not be worth it. But He's got a very good sized channel. He's making a really good product.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it does look really, really good.
It's really well made. You know, see it as work and not as a compromise. And then understand that you are rewarding yourself by getting to make, you know, there are very few creative people who get to do what they want. Full time, you don't just get to do that.
Including the people writing the songs that he's made to. No. Like the people, the songs that he is resenting teaching. I guarantee a healthy number of them are performed and written by people who don't love them either. But they're like, well, I know this is what sells, and then they do it.
Yeah.
I don't know if as long as the end goal is to get people in your camp to build your tribe. And by the way, think about it this way, David. Think about what you would do to build a pipeline directly to the 5,000 people who love your stuff the most. This is a way for you to build that bridge, is you have to start somewhere, and this is a way to lure people into the trap to eventually Scam School intentionally is the very surface level of magic, because what I care about, what is important to me, is I want to lure people all the way down to the bottom of this gravity well where they become addicted to magic and the nuances of deception and psychology and so on. But that's not going to happen on day one. It's got to start with, dirt, who wants a beer? And so as a result, Scam School is always going to be dirt, who wants a beer?
Okay, yeah.
and that's fine because it is serving a very important part of the puzzle. And by the way, for a dirt, who wants a beer, it's a fine show. Yeah, I really like it. In fact, I'm going to change the title to dirt, who wants a beer.
But that's also something that is a part of the education element, right? Scam School is an educational show.
Right.
So is his guitar lessons.
Yep.
You know, you are either going to appeal to the surface, to the large surface area of people who want to find out how to play a Chainsmokers song or Ed Sheeran song.
Right.
And of those people, some of them will like how you teach and will want to know more.
Right.
Some of these people will like classical rock and will want that from you. And those are not unrealistic niches.
Well, and
those
people
exist. That's not crazy.
Exactly. Like just build that engine. Don't fall into that trap. Most of the artists that I talk to have a fantasy, and it is an abject fantasy that does not exist. And the faster you divest yourself from this fantasy, the happier you're going to be as an artist. Mm-hmm. It does not exist. That story that we've heard a million times over of raw talent that meets up with somebody who wants to do the business side of things, that does not exist. And every story you've ever heard about that is a lie. There are versions of it that are true, that are a business-minded person completely screws over an artist and turns them into a commodity and makes all the money and leaves them dead in the dust. That does exist. But this idea that there's any kind of harmonic place where you can decide that your job is only to play guitar, only to do magic, only to tell jokes, only to paint paintings.
And if so, then you have to understand that the compromise in that is being approachable or being accessible, being, you know, mainstream or recognizable, putting yourself out there to be a mainstream appeal such that you can continue to hone into what it is that you want.
Correct.
That. Yeah.
Correct.
Is that The Garage Myth?
The Garage Myth? I've not heard the
Garage Myth. I thought that might have been a book you recommended.
No, I haven't heard of The Garage Myth.
Okay, what's never mind, because I haven't read it.
Oh, okay.
My guess on what it is the idea that people starting out and the idea that building, you know, an entire business right out of your garage is at best a very specific way of describing different success stories like Dell or Apple, right?
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that is for sure. And by the way, when you start, very often you are all on your own, right? And you can only rely on you know, your best friends and your loved ones to help you out. But you're right. We have this myth of it being one person that makes everything happen, when in fact, all success stories are people working in teams who have carefully curated the people around them to make stuff happen. And I'll tell you this much, David, if what you want to do is grow this channel, I know for me, looking just at the hard numbers, it has become clear that there's nothing more effective than appearing on other people's things so that you can promote your thing. Basically, showing up for
collaboration.
Free.
Collaboration. Yeah,
collaboration and cross-promotion and all of that stuff is the biggest thing. So I would say secondary to even worrying about a lot of us want to chase the idea of viral success. We want to believe that if you have the right idea at the right time, it'll just take off on its own. And that does happen from time to time.
But again, like what I mentioned earlier, those people don't get happy, because those are often not the things that they want.
Correct. Correct. Well, and also it's fleeting. It's a fleeting rush. And we've seen that two or three times on the Modern Rogue now. There have been particular videos that for whatever reason have exploded. And I don't understand how that any of that works, but it seems to have worked. But eventually it goes away and then that subsides and you go back to kind of this baseline. So I would say in that regard, yes, as a part of your diverse strategy, include some stuff that you think has the potential to blow up, also
take some time for yourself.
Keep to your core fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
Also, I'm noticing that he's right here in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, he's in Austin, Texas.
Dude, definitely send me an email to brian@schwood.com and we should hang out and have lunch.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for sending in that email. If you have a project or a suggestion or something you want to get here on After Things or Weird Things, you can send it to neshcom@gmail.com. And I guess that's going to do it for After Things.
No. Usually do picks? You got any picks?
No, that's why I was...
Oh, that's why you're wrapping up? You don't have any picks?
If you have a pick, I got to think of something.
I actually don't. Let me go back to the fundamentals. And I've mentioned this book a million times before, but Origin of Brands is a great starting point because you'll read it and it'll cause you to ask questions about, like, who am I? Where do I belong in this universe of competitors, and how can I stand out? How can I be different? You know, in what areas can I be first? If I'm not first, in what areas can I be different? And once you start thinking in those terms, it gets a lot easier to think about the narrative, the storytelling aspects. And I mentioned it before, but specifically to David, listen to that Minimum podcast. I think it's episode 6 about building empires. There's a 5-minute exercise that you can follow that'll cause you to think bigger about your future prospects than you would otherwise think, I think.
Yeah. I'll have a pick. It's not necessarily the most tied to this episode or to David's situation, but you mentioned a podcast. I have been listening to a new podcast that I really like.
Yeah.
It is a comedy podcast called Your Kickstarter Sucks.
Oh, wow.
It is based off a popular Tumblr blog.
Okay.
And two of the authors of that blog are doing this podcast now. And it's very casual. It's a very just like, it's just these two guys, Mike and Jesse, and they have a really good chemistry between each other.
Yeah.
But it's also very low energy. Like you and Justin, I would say, have kind of a high energy
yep.
relationship, or, you know, especially on the show on Night Attack. But these guys are very like just casual and the friend, like it's a friendship. It's a good friendship. And they have a Patreon, and the Patreon I think is doing pretty nice. I dig it, and they do games and stuff, and they do talk about Kickstarters, but also they talk about what's going on. They spent one episode, maybe 30 to 45 minutes, just talking about Adam Sandler movies.
Wow.
And it's an amazing, it's also one of their first episodes. It's kind of a very bold, it's podcasting that is not trying to be podcasting, you know? It's just these two guys, they're just doing this thing. It's really funny. That's Your Kickstarter Sucks. You can find it on all your podcatchers and stuff.
Right on.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, man. We miss you, Andrew Main. We expect you to return from heaven very, very soon. But until then, it's been after.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.